Thank you, Kit. I was stressing last night. Good morning. Let me just take a look at you all and use your energy and your presence to kind of ground me. I just got back from Unity Village, so Rev Jill and I kind of went like ships in the night, and I've been like a kid running on my tippy toes. I haven't put my feet back on the ground yet. So, last night, I was trying to get my thoughts in order for this Sunday service, and I was just all up in my head thinking, this isn't coming together, it's not going to be right. What will Kit think when I don't have a talk that matches her songs? And then, divine order, right? You know, if you're going to walk the walk, you got to believe it. So, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of our dads. You're welcome very much. If there's one thing you guys have probably started to recognize is that I appreciate a little backstory. I like the history of things before I just dive right into a topic. So today is Father's Day. Here's a little history. It was founded and first celebrated 119 years ago today. It was founded by a woman named Sonora Smart Dodd, who, after attending church on Mother's Day, where it was all about celebrating moms and giving them the glory, realized, hey, I was raised by a single dad after my mother died in childbirth. He was a Civil War veteran and raised her from infancy and her five siblings by himself. In 1966, President LBJ gave his first presidential proclamation honoring fathers. And Richard Nixon, God bless him for doing something right. We had 1972. He signed Father's Day into public law, making it a permanent holiday. So I don't want to be one to break tradition. If I could just ask that our dads, our stepdads, get on your feet and let us celebrate you. Would you stand? And I happen to know there's at least one mom in the audience that deserves that same honor. So for single moms or moms that are doing it more alone than not, and fulfilling both roles, would you also stand? I'll confess that it was you that I had in mind while I got out of the way with what I was determined would be my topic today for Father's Day, and allowed for a spirit to speak to me and flow through what actually needed to be said, because it's not my agenda. Clearly, it needed to be heard here in this community today. So, I will ask you if you would please raise your hand if any of you would say that through the course of your relationship with your dad, living or having transitioned, you had the perfect, open, loving, flawless, easy relationship with your dad. Oh, Betty. Well, I'm going to honor you for the anomaly. Chip saying his daughter's not here, so. Well, I know that the relationship with our dads, just as any relationship we have with each other, with ourselves, and with that very intimate relationship we have with the divine, it ebbs and flows. With our dads, we can love them, and we do, and we can also not be a super big fan of them all at the same time. It might present as a constant in your life, or it could show up at different points in our relationships as we evolve and grow and develop. It's not necessarily always going to be this harmonious relationship. seamless relationship. I know for me there would be a time that that answer would change day to day. You have a great relationship with your dad? Sometimes. Day to day, depending on what I had going on in my life and selfishly as a teenager, what I was getting out of that relationship. So I have to say, you know, poor dads, you guys, you come and accept this role that is built out of polarity, polarities. Oftentimes dads get the stigma of being the disciplinarian or the one that was in the background through our childhoods. They're stern and strict, right? Yeah. But they're also funny, and they're adventurous, and they're really smart, unconventional, and very loving, even if it's in their own way. So while I was doing my research for this talk, I was just looking for inspiration anywhere, because I will tell you all, I was just drained. You would think you're filled up from the village. I was drained from the village. And I came across the old Subaru commercial, probably 6 or 7 years ago. And it was a dad with three kids, and I'm going to tell you about this. So the first scene was the dad leading the charge and all three kids careening down this like slippery slope on their dirt bikes. And then the next one was the dad at a concert, a rock concert, with his daughter up on her shoulders, and they were just jamming out, having a great time. My favorite scene was they were clearly camping, and the father was with a fire extinguisher putting out a tent that had clearly been on fire. And the last scene was all three kids in the back of the Subaru with giant ice cream sundaes. And the tagline was, "Don't tell mom." And they're like, oh, So the dads, being unconventional, bring this well-rounded, loving energy, inspiration, adventure to our lives as we're growing up. And we are always growing up. That commercial was little ones, but we grow and we are always evolving. So we always look to each other for that dad energy. So as to not alienate some of you that I'm sure are feeling like, oh goodness, I don't love my dad. I'm having some things with my dad, or maybe some unresolved issues. I'm going to let the dads off the hook for just a minute and focus on the art of polarity. I looked the definition up, and it is, a polarity is the state of having two opposite or contradictory tendencies, opinions, or aspects. Ironically, the example in the definition was the polarity between male and female. So, perfect. Another way that I like to look at this is through the quote by the Jesuit priest and mystic Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. You are probably familiar with it, and I've used it before, but I'm going to read it because even it's in my head, I seem to not be able to spit it out. So he says, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." So just process that for just a second. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. That is such a powerful reminder for me that we have and are made up of this conglomeration, this beautiful mess of emotions and thoughts and experiences. And we're in the constant flow of life, right? We are seeking balance constantly between our divinity and our humanity. And in the process of that, I find that little grains of sand are dropped along my path of development, and I envelop them. I grab them up from the ether of my potential, and they sit within me. And in the midst of that process, I also start to develop and recognize where the rub is. You know, where a grain of sand is scooped up in an oyster and the friction is created, that is when the process of divine potential begins, the process of evolution for something new. But we're all seeking the divine appointment. We're all in search of, well, I hope this isn't a gross assumption. Am I the only one who's looking for the reason for why I'm here? What am I doing here? How am I supposed to show up? What are my divine gifts? And how am I contributing to the betterment of the world I'm in and around me? Well, you know what they say. Seek and ye shall find. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to like what you find or understand it right away. There's the rub. You might not like the process that's involved with becoming who or what you are intended to be, and we resist. And there's that rub. It keeps going until we can get to a place of surrender and using our spiritual principles, using these powers. I recognize when I allow the power of faith to take hold and for God to lead the way, for me to get out of the way. Maggie, I don't need your commentary. I need for you to listen and say yes and walk your walk. Walk your truth, which is sometimes easier said than done, right? So I had a personal story that was, I wanted to share with you. You guys all know I'm in school. And there is a mix of wonderful examples of the polarity of that experience. Loving what I'm doing and also really not caring if Jesus was actually a peasant. So why do I have to write this 20-page term paper? Loving my teachers and being honored and filled up by the idea that I have been called into this high capacity to show up, and also not given a hoot between the difference of process theology and prosperity theology. That isn't fun all the time. But this morning, something more pertinent came up for me. I told you I just got back from the village, and I was getting ready. I'm running through my talk in my head. I'm like, yep, polarities, fathers. Good. One more brush of the hair, and I reach for my jewelry. I could have sworn that it would be right here. If I've unpacked it, it's here. Well, I've unpacked. I've hung up everything and put it in the dirty clothes. My backpack's empty. My makeup's put away. No pouch with my jewelry in it. And it's not just an extra pair of earrings. It's diamond earrings, pearl earrings, turquoise rings, silver hoops, gold hoops. It's everything I needed or thought I might need while I was gone. And I'm a very sentimental person. So there is some emotional attachment to all of those things. Somebody gave it to me, or they are in my life because I met a milestone and bought that for myself in celebration. And they're gone. So I was sharing with Kit, if there's ever a question that my God has a sense of humor, it was reaffirmed for me right then. It was either, ha, 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 what are you going to do with this now? Or, what are you going to do with this now? So I was fully in, immediately switched gears from coming here and being in the presence of leadership and student and knowingness and anchor of community just for the day. And I was super, super ticked. I was going through all of the, how could you have done that, Maggie? Why didn't you just put that in your pocket? Darn that TSA. And also realizing immediately, I am being asked to practice what I preach instantly with knowing that I am safe, I am whole, I am loved, I am okay, though it be a little less decorated. And I don't like that. So you can guarantee, though, while I'm working this out, because I'm going to be in that ebb and flow for a little bit, I'm going to be trusting that all is well and that what was lost will be found by either the right and perfect person or they're on their way back to me right now. And in that really sad place of, gosh, I've had those earrings since I was graduating high school, you know, and have to work that out. In the midst of it, I have observed my own behavior a few times. And I wonder if any of this sounds familiar to you. When I am in the swing of polarity, I tend to not immediately recognize what I'm feeling, and it manifests. Yeah, that's funny, right? Yeah, good, I'm glad I'm not the only one. But it manifests in little ways, like I try to gain control over something and hold on really, really tight, and it is something that really is either none of my business or none of my concern. Or I nitpick. I've, up till recently, had 3 kids in the house, and I have eaten their shorts about little things and driven them crazy as a manifestation of what I'm not dealing with, right? My favorite, and it's easiest, is that I run on a really short fuse and snap at those people that are closest to me. Does any of that sound familiar? Yeah. So those are my cues that I am not honoring the full breadth of my human and divine experience. I am usually ignoring the human part, the part that hurts, the part that's tired, the part that's furious. And I'm trying to spiritually bypass and stay in the center of what is true. But it is also true that I'm pissed about something or hurt about something or really sitting with the sting of regret from throwing those stinking jewels in my suitcase and trusting TSA to leave it alone. It's not a spiritual failure. So let's get that clear right now. It's not a spiritual failure to experience your humanity. How's that feel? You can let yourself off the hook. And when I call you flipping wigs about something, will you please remind me? Thanks. So how do we get through it? How do we navigate these polarities and the expression that follows in the swing? We are all equipped with tools, of course, and you hear it in a Unity Church over and over and over, that we have the power of prayer and we have the powers of meditation. We can always turn within. We can always come back to center. we can also exercise compassion. So if you need to turn within to access that compassion, that's a good way to do it. We can also exercise forgiveness and live with an open and forgiving heart. And the hardest part of that is usually self-forgiveness. I can guarantee you I'm going to be kicking myself in the seat for weeks about doing a dumb mistake. I want to go back and focus on the affirmative prayer. In Unity, we know we practice principle number 2. We have a visitor, so I'll recap. Principle number 2 is saying that we are made in the image and likeness of God. We have that internal divine spark. It is our birthright. It is the substance from which we were created. So it seems silly in some other faiths that we would pray and send that out somewhere. That prayer goes anywhere, because God is where? Right here. One of my most powerful tools and the most favorite ones, and the one that I probably go to quickest, is to reach out to one of you. When I am swinging way right or way left, sometimes I'm a little big for my britches, I can look to you to bring me back to center. I did that just last night when I was in my head, this talk isn't right, I don't know what Bible and Tommy and Bobbly Gook, and I don't know what to do or say or how to not offend or leave anyone out on Father's Day. So I called a friend, and she returned me to sanity. She brought me to center. How many of us have that as our very first thought when we're spinning out, spinning our wheels somewhere, is to reach out to God? And do you think about God being your friend, being your neighbor, being your dad? If thinking of it that way shifts, that one of those rubs for me is asking for help. Help me see this rightly. I came across this quote from American author Clarence Buddington Keeland. Has anybody ever heard of him? He is a self-proclaimed mediocre author. So don't feel bad or uneducated, because I was like, I never heard of this before. But this ties into one of the lyrics in Kit's song. My father didn't tell me how to live life. He lived and let me watch him do it. So recognizing that our dads are not immune from the experience of polarities between divinity and humanity, that sometimes looks like our dads, our father figures, our mothers fulfilling both roles, showing up exactly how we want to be, showing up as our highest and best selves. And it sometimes demonstrates how we don't want to be. But either of those are contributors to our perpetual development. We will remember it, we will look for someone to model it, and we can choose whether we follow it. So in the coming weeks, I invite you to keep these thoughts in mind, to really be aware of yourself and where you're finding your experience of human and divine caught in the polarities. Be aware of how those feelings and thoughts come up, and let that shame go of it maybe being a spiritual malpractice, or I'm not being very spiritual today because I'm feeling very human. Remember that we have those tools. You have the tools. Your thoughts are prayers. So what you're thinking is going on anyway. You are praying. But do you need time by yourself? Do you need a positive creative outlet? Do you need to phone a friend? Because through that contact with each other, we get divine inspiration. We have divine problem solving. And we are allowing for God to act through others, showing up for us to help center us in the midst of that polarity. So Kit's going to take us into a meditation. And I'd like for you to focus on where you are, where you're caught in between, and how God is showing up through others for you.
So let's take a deep breath. And let's just breathe into that heart space, that source of all life in us, the beat, the rhythm. That ever-present source. It keeps us here. It keeps us in this human experience. What a gift. That gift of life. And behind that gift, the source, the divine masculine, that divine energy, not outside of us. That is what we remember on Father's Day, that the Father in human form, or maybe from the faith traditions of our upbringing, may have said, we are separate, but we know we are not. We are never separate from. Swing in our daily human experience. Breathing in and focusing on that heart, the heart of God. For just a moment, we can take notice of the tempo, the beat, the rhythm, and simply rest and say, yes, everything is good. My heart is beating. I'm still here. What a gift. At any time, in any moment of any day, being able to move into that place and say, thank you, God, for this heartbeat. My goodness, what a thing. What a thing to be grateful for. If that's all I know that I have today, it's enough. Because I know that as long as my heart is beating, there is something for me to express. There is love for me to express, because that's what the original divine source is love. So breathe into that heart one more time. And bring your attention back to this space in this room. As you feel ready and able or not, you can just sit and listen, or you can sing. We will honor that divine masculine in a place and by words that we know. This beautiful prayer that is a roadmap for living and honoring and gratitude and love. As we forgive our debtors.